So I am just saying hello to the citizen lobbyist here as we begin another edition of the Citizen Lobbyist. This being Thursday, November 17th, 8 a.m. The whistle has blown. And there you are. So how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Chilly outside.
Well, that is true. The good news is that it's going to be very constant, a consistent temperature projected right on through Thanksgiving with very little in the way of precipitation, which may not be something that appeals to people, but that's what we have. That's just the way it is. And of course, coming up later, this is the morning broadcast of the Citizen Lobbyist, and by this evening when we rebroadcast, the event will be over. But starting at 10 a.m. This morning, going until noon, is what looking to be a fascinating another edition of the presentation regarding economics and demographics in the Valley. Do you want to tell people about that? You're going to be there, right?
I'm not going to be there, which is makes it me very happy that Radio Free Palmer is going to stream it. It's an annual, sort of an annual event that the school district embarks on with the labor department, actually, and invites them in to kind of go over what they gleaned from last year's changes in economy and statistics, population, that sort of thing, in the Valley. Neil Fried is always an entertaining speaker on that. But it's a little different this year in that not only will Neil be here to give his presentation, but they've also invited David Teal from legislature to come and talk about more of a 360 or 600-foot view of the way the economy is shaking down and the challenges that the state has on that level. And also Luke South from the school district is going to do a sort of a mini rollout budget presentation of the challenges that they have going forward. So a really good chance, a very comprehensive look at, all the wheels that turn, so to speak, on finances, which is, the bottom line of, how we can do in our schools as far as public education, what we can afford, basically. So it should be a really, really good presentation, Mike, and I'll be anxious to hear your feedback
right.
And also listen to it.
Well, we're going to, by the way, not only stream it, but we're going to broadcast it live. So those people that are listening on FM, they'll be able to listen to it. They'll be able to listen to the stream wherever you are in the world.
I think the district is also will also be streaming it too. So people will have a lot of options. So no excuse not to listen to it.
Right. And I think your description there is kind of interesting because Neil Fried does a great job of providing some basic numbers and a few implications of what those numbers mean. I mean, by numbers, just the changing number of peoples or pickup trucks or whatever that...
housing.
Yeah, all the rest of that. And then we have people such as those involved in the school district who have to take that and put it together to say, okay, if the numbers are going up, particularly the numbers of students, how does that affect our budget? Where are they going to live, et cetera, et cetera? So I've always been fascinated by the presentations. I think they're the one place where people can come and ask questions in particular. So, yeah, we'll be there.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point, Mike. I'll be reporting a little bit later here on enrollment figures. The district just finished their fall count and, although they haven't crafted the budget, they haven't started their budget proceedings, they had to give to the state what their projection in kiddos are for next year. So it's they're always having to project way, way more forward than just about anybody else. So this type of informational kind of helps them craft, what their budget's going to look like based on, historical things that Neil's present. So yeah, it should be really, really good, and we'll have lots to talk about it, I think, when it's over.
So were you able to catch any of the school board meeting that happened last night?
Oh yeah, I was there for the entire thing.
Good. So tell us what happened.
I've been to the school board meeting for a little bit. I've listened to all of the podcasts in my absence, but I've been traveling. So this is the first one I've actually seen the new board seated, so to speak.
But
there were changes after the last election. President Paltrow was defeated in her election bid, with Ray Michelson taking over the Palmer representation now that they're serving by district. Also, they have welcomed Yvonne Ruth from the Big Lake area, so it was first chance to sort of see her in action. New figure configuration, seating configuration, which because there is new, they have their own new seats there as far as Donna Dearman being president and Mr. I'm going to lose his name right now. Help me, Mike.
Let's go to an easy one. Debbie Rutherford is
clerk. Right. Yeah, and I'll think back on it. I'm losing the second name, but yeah, they have a new configuration. So yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting to see. So they had a pretty good list of things to look at last night. They started out by having just one person to be heard, and that was somebody from the CEA or their class of unclassified workers union, and they had a celebration early on, and of course there was cake to really celebrate some of the people that are in support services for the district, people, you know, that are in maintenance, people that are out helping teachers assist in playgrounds and that sort of thing. So she was there just to kind of talk about that a little bit. There was no borough and city reports, which is unusual for Mayor Cottle not to be there, but he was not there. They had a report from their student representative on the Alaska Association of Student Government. They had their big fall conference in Wasilla, and actually a couple other kids also reported. And I had no idea what a big deal that was. It was held at the Menards Center this year. The kids actually stayed some 72 hours together there. They slept in the Menards Center, and they met there. They worked on, you know, skills on to how to delegate, how to grow teams. They debated certain things like taxing marijuana and some other school things. I guess it was a very robust gathering of these kids, and they passed 16 resolutions to pass on to their districts to see if they could make some changes in their own district. So good to see kids getting involved in that kind of thing.
Good modeling.
They had another celebration for Academy Charter School, who received the Blue Ribbon School Recognition Award. I think this is something the Career Center got last year. So it's a big deal. It's a national award. And they had some people from their school talking about that. So, you know, good administrative reports in that. Then they went on and talked about the budget a little bit, but mostly it was about enrollment, Mike, and that's always a number I sort of look forward to seeing, because there's a lot there. I'd like to see how much the borough actually, or the student enrollment, which has been projected last fall, how it came in, and they came in within 4 students of what they projected.
Whoa. That's pretty good.
They projected 18,819 enrollment, and they actually ended up with 18,815. So they're just edging up here. Gene Stone commented during the presentation that Kodiak is the 8th largest school district, and the borough has added enough kids in the last 10 years to be the 8th largest school district. So they have really grown. This year, they're projecting 19,100 for 2018, which is about a 1.5% growth rate. Of course, a couple of years ago, they had almost a 3% growth rate, but they see it sort of flattening out. You know, in the last 10 years, they've grown 2,700 kids. That's a lot in a very short period of time, and they're the only district in the whole state that is still growing. So that says a lot. It also brings some challenges. We already have some, even though we opened 5 new schools in the last 5 years, they now have schools that are at capacity, Reddington for one, the new one, and they're pulling in portables already. And since there's that little problem with the state not reimbursing for bond debt now, they aren't able to even think about a bond probably till somewhere around 2001 maybe. So they talked about their accuracy of making enrollment. It's been really, really good over the last 10 years. They've come spot on. And that's a really important thing, because if you overcount what you think you're going to get and you get that much money for it, you have to pay it back. So that's not a good thing. So being on projection is really important to the district. So there is a, they will be in board docs later, a presentation that and it's actually in the financial section right now. Anybody wants to go in, they're geek like me and likes to look at these enrollment numbers. They're on the district website, which I always appreciate the fact that Luke Falk makes a special effort to share those things with us. So that was enrollment, Mike. We're gaining kids.
Wow, that's been a question that a number of people have had, whether there would be truly a slowdown. It sounds like when you say flattening, it's still continuing growth rate, and it stands in great contrast to other parts of the state, which Anchorage in particular, which is seeing a kind of a stutter in its growth.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, there's still a lot of building going on. You know, there's a lot of subdivisions out by Elmore Road. There's 600 lots platted out there. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to build them all at once, but that could, you know, by and large, their family homes. So we could see some changes here. So good to be prepared.
Sure.
So that was one of the presentations that they had. The rest of it was basically they brought up again, Mike. Oh, I guess I should go through. They talked about their legislative priorities for next year.
Right.
They had a handout of, you know, things that they would like a little bit of help on, changes, you know, and code that would help them operate more efficiently, they feel, and other things. They are going to ask for a little bit of money to expand the campus at Massu College. You know, they're now moving the middle school. John will be happy. They're going to move the middle college back to Massu campus this year. They're phasing that in, and they want to add some space over there to accommodate that growing program. We'll see if they get some money to do that. They've asked for it in their legislative updates.
Right.
So that too is a document that they can be found at board docs of what they're exactly they're asking for. And they're going to have a legislative meeting, I think in about a week or a couple weeks, to actually invite the legislators in to go over with those priorities with them. And then they took up, Mike, and this is probably something you remember, again, they've had another submittal of the Ocroads Ridge Leadership Academy Charter School, an application that they've turned down a couple of times.
Right, it's back.
Right, and it went to the state, and the state kicked it back, and so now they're submitting what pretty much is the same application they had before, which became a little bit of a problem for some of the board members. Of course, they have a new board member that hasn't been through this process before, but there were a couple of board members that still appreciate what they want to do there, but they're concerned that they really are just submitting the same.
Well, let me ask a question then. When you say pretty much, I would think that if it had been rejected, what has changed? I mean, it's a simple question. What has changed to suggest that bringing it back would produce a better result?
I don't know. There, I guess one change that they want to make that sort of made sense is instead of it being open, it was sort of the timing of the application. Last year had it passed, I think they would have had it passed in July, and they would have had to been open by the fall.
Okay.
This they're shooting to be open, not next school session or school year, but the year after, giving them more time.
Oh, well, that's significant.
That's significant. There was some question whether they could even submit this early for that opening. There was a little bit of talk about that, and I'm not sure they really resolved that. One of the questions that the school board had last time was whether they had enough families committed to this And then although they say they have the numbers, they didn't actually attach any proof to their application of those families. So there's some things. It sounds like the district is really trying to push them a little bit into what Fronteras did to get started, and that was become a school within a school. Apparently, and I didn't really know the history of this, but Fronteras started out, I want to say at Thielen, but I'm not sure, can't remember which school it was, from 15 years ago, as a school within a school operating. And then they went to getting their own facility after, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. And it sounds like the district is trying to push them in that direction. The sponsors of this are having a little angst with that because they are planning their school on a bit of a different calendar, because part of the curriculum for this involves subsistence,
okay,
farming, and those kind of things that conflict with the school calendar. But the district felt that they could accommodate those things. They didn't talk about where it could be. The only place I can think of 100 more students being able to be accommodated would be Palmer High. So they've got some things to work out. So hopefully they'll come with their supporters and make whatever suggestions the school board made to them.
And I know
make an addendum to this, and when they come back, it'll be in front of the school district again at their next meeting.
And I know the last time they were tied to a campus, the farm location.
Farm.
Right. Have they given up on that?
No, doesn't sound like it.
Okay.
Yep, and I think that's where they would like to be, but I think the school district is trying to, it gets a little complicated because it's a matter of there's certain provisions with the deeds about opening a new school, and if you lose funding from other schools, if you move kids around, it's kind of we'd be getting in the weeds here, but I think they're trying to work with them a little bit, and we'll see what they come up with. It sounds like they need to meet with the administration and put some final touches on this before the board actually sees it in a couple of weeks. But I would imagine at the next school board meeting, which I think is the 7th, if I'm right.
Right, in December.
Mm-hmm. There'll be a big crowd there.
Okay.
Because I would imagine their supporters will be there to talk about this, because there's a lot of passion around this.
Right.
By a lot of parents.
Right. Sustaining passion, too, since they've come back again. Yeah.
Many years, for sure.
So any other pieces on the school board meeting?
Nope. They talked, comments went on for quite a while. There was a report. Debbie Rutherford went to the Alaska School Board, Association of Alaska School Boards in Anchorage last week. It was a four-day conference. It really gets a lot of kudos. I guess they did a really good job this year. The governor was there. The lieutenant governor was there. The head of the Department of Education, which is a new head, was there the entire time. She talked about learning, a lot of skills, not just from districts your own size, but from even smaller districts are doing some pretty innovative things. As they have smaller enrollments, they're doing some things in technology that even the big kids districts aren't doing. So there's always something to be learned, and she felt a really, really good investment. She and Sarah Wilson both went. And they both are submitting written reports, which I think is really important for the members of the board that did not go. Yvonne Roos, a new board member, did go to it. They have a boot camp, actually, like they do with AML for elected officials, kind of putting them through what to expect and what the protocol is for serving and that sort of thing. So there was a little bit about that, and a lot of, just comments seem to go on, as they do,
Mike. Sure. Okay. Well, I'd like to turn our focus a little bit ahead to tomorrow, or rather tonight, because the assembly chose to have their meeting this evening, and they're having a meeting at 4, I think, and then another one, the regular meeting, at 6. Any sense of how that's going to go or what's going to be happening there?
Well, I think it's going to go really fast. There's only one item on it. They're really needing to have an executive session regarding union negotiations. So I don't think there's only one item. There's really no hearings on it even.
Are you talking about the 4 o'clock meeting or the 6?
The 4 o'clock is a special session. The 6 is the regular meeting. And there really isn't even opportunity for anybody to testify on the fees. It's just something that they is coming back to them after they've already taken testimony on it. So they will have open testimony as they normally do at a meeting, but I expect it to go really fast. I will not be there. I'm going to be at the City of Houston, Mike. I'll be able to report on that next week. I'm going to the City of Houston to talk about a walkability study that they're embarking on. All the cities are going to do this spring.
Okay.
So I'm going to put my AARP hat on and go out and witness their meeting. And I've not been to a city council meeting at Westfalia, so I'm sorry, at Houston. So I'll have a good report on that hopefully next week and see what's on their agenda. So I think you're going to have a very early night at the assembly.
Yeah, it was a little bit strange. I'm trying to go back in my memory as to how it was selected that it would be done on Thursday. Was it interesting?
They must have known. Now, Dr. Doty is out of state, I'm pretty sure, and maybe they weren't going to have a quorum. That's the only thing I can think of, or that they had to pick a day when they wanted to do both of these meetings together, and they had to pick a day where instead of having two meetings this week, they wanted to have one, and this is the day they could all meet at 4 o'clock.
Right.
I wasn't there. It must have been a change when I, with the calendar at meeting.
Yeah, it seemed to me that there's a twinkle of a memory about a, looking ahead carefully and saying, you know, if we're going to do this, got to be Thursday rather than Tuesday. But in any case, we'll be there. We'll stream them, and we'll also hopefully be finished pretty quickly.
So I did go to one other meeting. I didn't see you at, Mike, but they had a meeting at the depot Tuesday night.
That's right.
And that was the recycling celebration to celebrate Recycling Month. And that was a really, did you happen to walk over there and maybe I missed you?
No, I was doing something else, but tell us, I knew it was happening, and I knew that in particular the city of Palmer was involved with it.
City of Palmer, yeah.
And what would you say is a summary feeling about that thing from your perspective?
Well, I got there a little bit late, but they had several booths set up to make people aware of different recycling that was going on around and just kind of educational part. The one that got my attention, of course, is, and you thought this was in the Frontiersman, but there is a movement by the recycling community to now as other cities have done, either ban plastic bags, the light thin plastic bags, grocery bags, or to charge a fee for them. And they're doing some really good work polling people. You'll probably see them. They've made arrangements. They're going to be standing, volunteers will be standing outside Walmart one day this week, this weekend, I think, asking people to take a 3-question survey about how they feel about plastic bags and about that movement. And they've got a whole list of places that they plan to get into the community and just see what they think about that. So I think that's really something we're going to need to watch. Now, whether it comes up to the to the assembly on something, as a fee of some sort, or that it ends up in the ballot next year. I think they're doing some really good work, some education, getting some good feedback from the community on how they feel about that. People are passionate about plastic bags. So far, what I'm seeing and what I saw in their poll, most everybody is very much in favor on either doing either one of those two things, either banning them or as other cities have done, charging a small fee because it costs a lot of money to have those in our landfill.
Okay. Well, thank you for that report, and thank you for calling in today's Citizen Lobbyist, and we'll look forward to seeing what we can talk about tomorrow on Valley Edition.
Sounds good, Mike. Enjoy today.
I will. You too. Bye-bye.